Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
2-0 Bruins the final. Sabres unable to solve Tuukka Rask as they get shut out in the first of three this week against the Boston Bruins. As we welcome you back here to the press box, I'm Brian Colziel. This is the official Paul William Belt Sabres post-game show. Well, a couple of, I'd say, decent opportunities in the first, some in the third, and then the most golden opportunity of all, a 6-on-3, and the Sabres really don't even put a ton of pressure on Tuukka Rask. A couple of shots that went wide, and then it ends up with a Buffalo penalty, which ends the 6-on-3 scenario. Nevertheless, it ends up being a 2-0 Bruins victory. As we welcome you here to the press box at KeyBank Center, we will get player reaction coming up here in the next few moments. Also, Don Granato's post-game comments and Paul Hamilton. But we are ready from the room. We're going to get some player reaction. Okay, we're going to have Rasmus Ristolainen here in just one moment. As we just wait to get connected to the Zoom call here on our post-game. Final shots end up being 38-32 in favor of the Bruins. Both teams 0 for the night of the power play, including, as I said, a disastrous 6-on-3. Okay, Rasmus Ristolainen now live here on the post-game.
At times it looked pretty, looked like you moved the puck pretty well, but can you put your finger on what's been wrong with the power play?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we haven't practiced, but that's not an excuse. But as an up front guy, I would like to see more shots.
Rasmus, in the first period, you guys got hemmed into your zone a lot, probably in the first 10 minutes, and then you guys seemed to get your stride a little bit. Why were you getting hemmed in, do you think, so early in the game like that?
I mean, I just think they were maybe a little more ready to play, and they just played better, and we didn't play in the level we played the last game, so that's what happened. Then you have to defend more.
What led to the difference in the third, Risto? What was better about your guys' game especially?
I mean, I feel like when you're down always in the third period, the losing team has a little push, and then you take a little more risk and you try to get the puck there and keep the pressure there. And when you're up, you know you don't need more goals to win the game. So I guess they are a veteran team. They've been in the playoffs, so they know how to defend and finish the game.
Thank you, Rasmus.
Thanks.
Okay, Rasmus Ristolainen, as we get the player reaction going here on the Paul William Belt's post-game show. As I mentioned, the Sabre, you heard Rasmus say he needs more shots on the power play. Let's get Paul Hamilton's thought here. Paul, that 6-on-3 late, I don't know how many shots actually ended up getting to the net, but it wasn't enough, obviously. They had a few that went wide, and one of them actually ended up kind of clearing itself. But that power play, I mean, 6-on-3, you have to score there. I don't care how good the other goalie's playing.
Did you get it or no?
All right. No Paul yet. We'll get to him in just a moment. But, yeah, 6-on-3, Tokarski's pulled. They had a minute 33 of 5-on-3 time, and then what should have been 6-on-3, Buffalo ends up taking a penalty there. Paul, that 6-on-3, I mean, I know Rask is playing good, but I feel you have to score there, 6-on-3.
You got to get some chances. They only had one scoring chance. It was a one-timer from the slot by Olofsson. Rask made the save, and that was it. I mean, they shot one wide. They really weren't around the net at all, considering they had 17 shots on the period. But you have a minute three, 6-on-3, and put no pressure on whatsoever other than the one chance. And usually that's all Olofsson needs is a one-timer in this open one-timer in the slot. But as hot as Rask was in this game, he was able to handle it. But that was it. You had one scoring chance and a 6-on-3. I'm blown away by that. I really am. I was expecting at least some pressure being put on Rask, and I thought, well, who knows? I mean, you have a 6-on-3 here. If you score on it early, you know, now you still have a power play, and who knows what you might be able to do. So, and give the Bruins credit too. I mean, they killed it very well also. But you know, usually we're looking at a 5-on-3 and saying, well, they kill it very well, and you say your goaltender's your best penalty killer, but your goaltender didn't need to be a penalty killer there. The Sabres just kind of stymied themselves.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Pat and I were talking. I'm like, okay, they've got to get one before. I was counting it down to the end of the first penalty, thinking, then you still have a man advantage, and you could still pull the goalie, so you still could have a two-man advantage at that point. It was a realistic chance to tie this game up. But I also was under the assumption that 6-on-3, that a goal was going to come, I guess. That was the shame on me moment, right?
And sloppy play, too. Three different times in this game, they took a penalty, taking a power play away. The 6-on-3 was over, but they were still on the power play when they wound up with too many men on the ice. And, that took that power play away. It was the third time in the game they had done that, where they were on the power play and taken a penalty, in Ristolainen's case, a dumb penalty, and lost their power play.
The chances, though, were there for them, Paul, in the first. I think that's maybe where we can go back and say that really they got away from the game. It could have been there. I mean, Mittelstadt had a great look. Cousins, of course, had the wide-open net that Rask got to, and then Dahlin grazed the crossbar. If just any of those go in, I mean, we might be talking about over. We might be watching OT right now.
And they did all that in the second half of the period. The first 8 or 9 minutes of the period, the Bruins had the puck the whole time. And only got one goal. And then all of a sudden, Buffalo got a power play. That's what ignited it. The penalty to DeBrusque at 11:17. And the Sabres finally got to set up in the zone and have some zone time. And then it carried over, even though they didn't do much with the power play, it carried over into the 5-on-5 play. And that's when they had the chances that you described.
2-0 Bruins over the Sabres. Brian Colesdale here with Paul Hamilton on the Paul William Belts postgame. Let's get to the three stars now. They're brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. All three stars are Bruins. Pastrnak had an assist on the first goal. He's star number 3. That first goal was scored by Marchand. Ends up being all they needed. He's star number 2. And Tuukka Rask in goal, 32 save shutout. He is star number 1. Well, the Spotlight Review brought to you by Jim's Steakout. No need to lace up for great food. Get it delivered. Visit jimsteakout.com. Paul, when we talk about the Spotlight Review and we look at the other team, the Bruins, we always think about the Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak line. They were very good, especially in the first. A big part of that ended up being the game-winning goal that they needed.
Yeah, the Krejci line was good throughout the game, too. I mean, What did Taylor Hall finish with? 6 shots, I believe, or close to it in the game. And, when they were on the ice, they put some pressure on the Sabres also, so with Smith, Krejci, and Hall. So it was a couple of lines that really got in on the Sabres until the third period. And, you know, the Sabres, as we had mentioned, had 15 shots combined in the first two periods, and then they get 17 in the third. And that's what I told you in the intermission. You knew the Sabres weren't going to give up. They don't give up under Don Granato, and they didn't. And the thing is, they got the 17 shots and were horrendous on a 6-on-3 power play and got one shot on that one. So, if they would have played that correctly, they could have probably had close to 20 shots in the period.
If you would have said they have 17 shots in the period with a 6-on-3 for a minute and a half, I would have said, well, they probably got 5 of them right there. But you're
It was just, I'm trying to think back to it, but it was just so uneventful. They had a couple of shots wide. They had a pass go wide that they came out of the zone. The Bruins should never touch the puck. On a 6-on-3, the puck should never touch them. They cleared the zone twice. When you're defending a 6-on-3, unless something lucky happens, you should never, ever, ever touch the puck and be able to get it out of the zone.
I don't know who had the one-timer from the far side from our vantage point, but it went so hard wide that it ricocheted off the boards, and then the Sabres ended up having trouble to even keeping it in. I think it even may have gone out on that sequence, but reminds us of many times where the Sabres have taken a shot wide and it's led to an odd man rush the other way. Now, obviously, there that didn't lead to an odd man rush, but for the Bruins, all they cared is that the puck got out and that they could get fresh bodies on the ice.
And their power play at least had been producing a little bit in the past few games. you know, yep. where you know, it finally they got a couple of goals in the power play. But and even if they do score on the 6-on-3, I mean, this is the Boston Bruins we're talking about. They're a good defensive team with Tuukka Rask in goal. I mean, it only cuts the lead in half. It's still 2-1, and it's still going to be a very uphill climb for you. But still, it just, I think, was disappointing for them that they couldn't produce anything off of that.
Yep. So the Bruins pick up their 26th win of the season. They now have 58 points. And even though they're in fourth, they're only 4 points back of the Capitals, Paul, with 2 games in hand. So
they still have 4 games against the Sabres, too.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to your point you made, 2 months ago. The Sabres might decide this division in terms of just who they play well against and who they don't.
Yeah,
and
back when the Islanders basically got their 6th game against Buffalo and their 6th win, and the Penguins and Bruins are sitting there and hadn't played Buffalo yet.
Yeah.
It's like, well, the Islanders already piled up 12 points. The Capitals had piled up a bunch. And here are 2 teams, the Penguins and the Bruins, that haven't even played Buffalo yet.
Yeah, as of this moment, the East is a great race. Caps with 62, Isles with 60, Penguins with 59, and the Bruins with 58. They've now separated themselves 6 points from the Rangers and still have one less.
Is that with
played.
The Penguins? Have they won yet tonight? They'd be, they were way
no,
ahead of Jersey.
That's what I'm saying, as of this moment, because all the 7 o'clock games haven't gone final yet. So yeah. You're still probably going to add 2 more to Pittsburgh because they're rolling, right?
Yeah, last I heard they had 6 goals on New Jersey.
Yeah, and the Islanders are beating the Rangers 6-1. That just went final, so the Rangers won't get any closer. But, yeah, we'll update the standings before we're done here. But there's your NHL standings brought to you by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods at Dash's Markets. Okay, let's go back to the room now, and Dylan Cousins is next live.
The puck.
Yeah, R2 made a great pass and just tried to get it off, and he made a great save. It's a great save by him.
Dylan, that's a really good defensive team. What were they doing to really prevent you guys from getting great A's for the first 2 periods, really, and keeping you guys the outside and keeping possession of the puck as much as they did?
I think we had a lot of good chances. Rask just played a really great game. We just got to find a way to score.
Dylan, how much more difficult is it to find ice against them than it is against the Penguins and Capitals when they're playing the style they like to play?
I didn't really notice too much of a difference. I think, like I said before, we played a pretty good game. I just got to find a way to put the puck behind the goalie.
I'm going to go back to Lance.
Dylan, with the power play, is it simply shots on goal and really trying to handle their pressure when they're trying to keep you guys to the outside?
Yeah, I think we just got to kind of simplify it and try and get a greasy one. Just put the puck on the net and crash the net and just find a way to tap in a greasy one.
Thank you, Dylan.
Okay, there is Dylan Cousins. Said that thought the chances were there, but said he needed to finish. But also, of course, did credit Tuukka Rask for playing well. Cousins, of course, maybe had the best look of anybody in this game, that open net look. And unless, I mean, that's going to happen, especially the goalie of caliber of Rask himself. Okay, Don Granato to come. But at this moment, we're going to say goodnight to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening to the post game, go to WGR550.com. For all of you here on our flagship in Buffalo on Sports Radio 550, more Paul William Belt's post game coming up, including Don Granato, more thoughts from Paul Hamilton, highlights and scores all coming your way here from KeyBank Center, where the Bruins shut out the Sabres 2-0. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of Odyssey, presented by the official Unsolved Mysteries podcast with never heard before mysteries on the Odyssey app and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Flipping it back to the point. Boston returns to full strength. A long shot right on the rebound. And Rask made a great save. Another shot. Oh, and that one was stopped right on the goal line.
As he stops Dylan Cousins, one of his 32 saves. It's the save of the game brought to you by Your Upstate Honda dealers, great deals are waiting for you now at your local Upstate Honda dealer. 2-0 Bruins win it. Let's get you our moments of the game now. They're brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. 8:06 into the game. It's all the Bruins needed. Marchand is 24th of the year.
It's tapped wide, but it comes back to the point and is held in there by Boston. Redwood in front of the net to Akarski, the save, and they score. Marchand is the one who tucks it into the net as Boston put the pressure on, and then that paid off with the first goal of the game.
Marchand's 24th, 8:06 into the first from Pastrnak and and Riley. That's your game winner. It's the goal of the game. Brought to you by Roswell Park, the designated cancer center of the Buffalo Sabres, urging men to get a second opinion at Roswell Park when they hear the words, "You have cancer." Period two, Bruins adding to their lead. 3:03, shot from the point, ends up trickling into the net.
Karski had it. Where's the puck now?
It's in the net.
It's in the nets. And Boston, in that wild scramble at the goal crease, has taken a 2-0 lead.
3:03 into period two. Connor Clifton's first of the year. Corrali and the former Sabre, Curtis Lazar, assisting. As the puck did get through Tokarski, and he ends up kicking it in as the Bruins go up 2-0. And those are your only goals. 2-0 Boston, the final. These same two teams will play Thursday and Friday here at KeyBank Center. Of course, 6:30 was tonight's game. We're back to the normal 7 o'clock puck drop for both Thursday and Friday with our Paul William Belts pregame show an hour ahead of time right here on the Sabres Radio Network. Paul, what did Paul Hamilton with you? Brian Colesdale here in the press box. Paul, what did you think of Tokarski's game overall? He was busy, 38 shots from the Bruins.
Yeah, it was a shame that second one went in. You know, off his, you know, he thought it was under him, and he's sliding back, and it hits the back of his skate, and he winds up knocking it in his own net. So that one was a shame, but there's nothing he could do on the Marchand goal in the first period. So, you know, Rask was solid. I thought he was solid, and at least kept the Sabres in the game and gave them a chance to win. I would have to disagree with young Dylan Cousins. I didn't think the Sabres played that good of a game. He thought they played a good game, and Rask just, you know, they couldn't get one by Rask. And I would tend to disagree on that. Yeah, sure, Rask did play a great, great game, but I don't think the Sabres by any means outchanced the Bruins or anything like that.
Yeah, the Rask piece I think is accurate, but him saying that he thought they had plenty of chances, I mean, for half of the first, I thought the entire second, I didn't think they had any chances at all. So I don't, you know, and they, 17 shots in the third, but again, that power play, Paul, to me is still a lasting moment. Like 6-on-3, that's got to be better. I know we harped on that already, but if you get one there, then at any point, you know, it becomes a game again. But
yeah, even if you had 50 scoring chances on the game, you had one scoring chance on a 1:33 6-on-3. Now the guy you wanted to get the one-timer got it. He got the scoring chance, but that was it. And that was the only shot you got on the 6-on-3 power play, and that was the only scoring chance you had on the 6-on-3 power play. So, as I said, you could have 50 scoring chances, but that still sticks out.
Paul, we gave the Penguins a win already, and I guess I shouldn't have. It was 6-0. It's now 7-5.
Is it really?
The Devils have scored 5 in the third. And there's still 6 minutes to go.
Here we go.
All right, we'll get you updated on that score and the rest here in a minute. Let's go to Sabres head coach Don Granato right now on the postgame show.
The way they're going to play. As a coach, is that sort of where you want a group to get to have that identity, to stick to it and be as difficult to play against, you know, as that group is, you know, time in and time out usually?
Yes, no question. They were adamant tonight, and they showed what you speak of, a very strong competitive identity. Got ourselves in trouble early, probably puck management, and chase the game. We chased the game. Rask was good when he had to be, but, we didn't set the pace. They set the pace. And again, with the challenge in puck management to keep it simple, we exerted a lot of energy. So this was much like the first Pittsburgh game. Real simple mistakes, simple learning opportunities, and you know, two things are positive. One, that they gave us the game they did. And the second one is we play them again. So, you know, the hope is that we can, make the adjustments necessary to compete better.
Don, you had a minute 33, 6-on-3 power play. And who knows if you score on that, who knows what could happen. But you really only, you had one shot on goal, one scoring chance, and that was it. It turned into a bit of a mess, I thought. What happened on that thing where you really couldn't even get anything towards Rask other than the one chance?
Yeah, we it wasn't good enough. Absolutely. What you said, it was right. It was not what we wanted. It was not competitive enough. There was not enough net focus and net drive. And so no question. It was disappointing. We will look at that, and it will be easy to learn from that. That is not not aggressive enough, not enough quick enough attack, and we should have had multiple pucks to the net. We did have a couple chances to score, but I didn't like the way anything looked in that regard.
And how much was that Rask save? I mean, a moment. I mean, if Dylan pots that puck, I mean, it could have been a big momentum swing. How much was that kind of a bit of a game changer?
Yeah, I could say that wasn't the game changer. Rask made a heck of a save. We just weren't good enough. So who knows what would have happened? Maybe there would have been a momentum shift, and they would have had to drop. You know, because they played a very solid game all the way through. Establishing it at the start. And so again, a great save. It could have been, got us back in the game. But when you look at the game overall, we didn't do what we needed to do, period, through the course of that game, start to finish.
Hey, Don, I know you've spoken a lot about using this stretch to learn and improve. Does having a 3-game series offer anything unique in that regard?
Yeah, it does. Like I mentioned, I'm glad we play them again, because we have to, we get a chance to look in the mirror, look at the video, speak of this game, and measure ourselves again against a great hockey team and a team that, is fighting for every point. There's no easy game for us. We've spoken about that plenty of times, and the next game will not be any easier. I know. Lots of players on that team. We all do. I know some personally, and they're a very competitive group of people over there. And that's what we need. If we're trying to advance and improve our team individually, our players individually, our team collectively, you want to get opposition like this, and you learn a lot about yourself. And clearly, we need to elevate based on what we went through today.
Don, three different power plays, you guys wind up taking a penalty and lose your power play. It's not something you normally do. Is that just mental focus?
That is an indication of everything I've just mentioned. Those are the indicators right there. Maybe not going to a puck quick enough, maybe not boxing a guy out hard enough, strong enough. Again, it was lots of signs that we wanted an easier game, but the competitive nature of a team like this, and move to this time of the year where the points are so valuable for them, that was the difference. That's why you take, a penalty. They're just one step quicker, and it matters a little bit more to them. And you're on the outside looking in, and you've got to reach that was nothing more than an indicator of the overall picture for me.
Thank you, Don.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Okay, there's Sabres head coach Don Granato. His post-game press conference brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. 2-0 Bruins the final. These two teams will meet again Thursday and Friday here at KeyBank Center. Let's get one final thought from Paul Hamilton. Okay, Paul, well, Don Granato seemed to be more critical than Dylan Cousins was, I guess, as expected. The coach normally would have that attitude, but I think he's right on. I mean, he hated the 6-on-3, said very little net presence, and I like his attitude of, hey, that we get to look in the mirror and then measure ourselves here in these next two games, which is kind of a nice thing that I do like about these two and three game sets that the NHL has in the schedule this year.
Yeah, and this is a team you got to come with your best for most of the game, and the Sabres came with their best in portions of the game, but not enough. And you know, you spot this team two goals, you're going to make it extremely difficult on yourself, especially with Tuukka Rask standing on his head in net and, playing the way he did. So, and again, the 6-on-3, you got to give the Bruins a little bit of credit there, too, the way they killed it. But, the Sabres, as Don Granato said, they were just looking for the easy way at times. And, it wasn't there for them. And then when they did bear down and get some chances, Rask was there to cut it off. So, and even the save he made before the Cousins save on Ristolainen, Ristolainen was, right on the doorstep. He made that save, and then it came across to Cousins, and he absolutely robbed him. But that wasn't an easy save either that he made on that one.
Paul, thanks for your work tonight. We'll see you here Thursday with the Sabres and the Bruins again.
Sounds good.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton here with me, Brian Koziel, on our Paul William Belt's post-game show. 2-0 Bruins, the final. We mentioned that wild game in Pittsburgh. Incredibly, there is more goals to tell you about. I won't steal the thunder from Pat. Let's go with our driver on the NHL here with Pat Mellicaro.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by Dunn Tire, the official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. You mentioned at one point Pittsburgh was up 6-0 on New Jersey. The Devils have scored 6 times in the third period. The Penguins with a 7-6 lead.
Wow.
Just 40 seconds to go in the third. Wild game. Finishing up at Pittsburgh. And as you mentioned, playoff implications for the Penguins. Now just a handful of games left in the season. Penguins looking to pick up 2 points and hold on for 2 points tonight against the Devils. Hurricanes locking a good battle with the Panthers and Lightning for the Central Division. Carolina on their way to a 4-1 win over the Lightning. Just a couple of seconds to go in the third period. Carolina looking to keep pace. We'll tell you about that in more in just a moment. Stars with a 3-0 lead over the Red Wings. Just underway in the second period. Joe Pavelski nets his 19th of the season. One of the three opening period goals for Dallas. John Tavares, 15th of the year, gets the Maple Leafs on the board early as Toronto leads Vancouver 1-0. And there's one game yet to start tonight. That's the Kings and the Ducks. 10 o'clock faceoff, about 20 minutes away from now. The Islanders score 1 in the first, 2 in the second, 3 in the third. They defeat the Rangers 6-1 tonight. The Rangers fall to the Islanders, who pick up 2 more points. The Panthers keeping pace with Carolina. 5-1 winners, the Panthers over Columbus tonight. And from the category of things to make you feel old, Spencer Knight making his NHL debut. He's the first goaltender born in the 2000s to appear in an NHL game. He records 33 saves, picks up the win in his league debut. So Spencer Knight collecting the win for Florida in goal. Also a stat from baseball, where the Red Sox are doubling up the Blue Jays 4-2, bottom of the seventh inning at Fenway Park. While in the Bronx, the Yankees with a 3-1 lead on the Braves, Brian.
The Yankees had a press conference this morning with Brian Cashman, basically saying, listen, it's 162 games. He didn't say that. I'm paraphrasing the summary of it there. They were 5-10, and maybe they'll win tonight. The season's not over, but boy, do Yankee fans make you feel like it is.
Yeah, it's a rough start after first good week.
For sure. Time now to get connected with our fans, brought to you by Nextiva by Premcom, the official telephone system provider of the Buffalo Bills and Sabres. Well, this is our connection to remind you, a reminder that if you want to see the Sabres in person, this is your essentially last chance to do it. Thursday is the next game. There's no fans, but Friday is. And we know with COVID protocols, you can't just like at 4 o'clock that day say, hey, you know what, let's go down to the game. You've got to take care of testing or show vaccination proof. So make sure that if you want to see the Sabres in person, they've been obviously more watchable and more entertaining now under Don Granato. Friday is the next opportunity to do so at KeyBank Center. And that is the last scheduled game for fans this year, obviously up until we hope next fall, when maybe we'll have a full building, which would be obviously fun to see, Pat, which – can you picture this entire building, Phil? Like, it seems weird. Like, we know it's only been it feels like it's been an eternity. It's been a year and a month since we've had COVID in our lives, but boy, it feels like I can't even remember when it was like totally filled into the rafters.
When we first talked at the start of the season, I mentioned how no fans in the building I'm used to it now because we've been down the street at Salem Field, and we were both at all the Blue Jay games where there were no fans It was media and a handful of workers. That was it. But, boy, didn't you notice as the NFL season went on, yep. especially the Super Bowl, and then you see NHL arenas, MLB games now with fans. And
March Madness always right. – the crowd is what makes that event so good. There wasn't any fans really for that, and there was a few here and there. But
you're starting to hear a little bit of that natural fan reaction, and especially in some major league parks where you're outdoors and yeah, bigger capacity. More. Yeah.
Yep. I'm hoping that we'll have full fans here in September for a preseason game.
I think it's safe to say it's something we won't take for granted again, no matter what sporting event you're at.
That's right. You still can boo if you don't like what the home team is doing, or you can still boo if you hate what the refs did with the call, but being able to go to a building with maybe 19,000 friends is definitely something that I think we'll all look forward to when that happens. Okay, Pat, thank you. We'll be here Thursday again, Sabres and Bruins.
Looking forward to it.
That'll put a wrap here on our Paul William Belts postgame for tonight. I want to thank TJ Luckman, our network producer, Kyle Powell on our social media back in our Amber studios, our crew here at KeyBank Center. Just heard from Pat Melancaro, Paul Hamilton as well. Mike Shope is on our pregame show, and for Rick Jenneret and Rob Ray, our game announcers, my name is Brian Colziel. I thank you for listening. Final again, Bruins shut out the Sabres 2-0. We'll see you here on Thursday night with Buffalo and Boston again right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.